mail goes in and out, and all kinds of fun stuff.
My documents, folder, just mail.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, pictures were a big problem to get back.
Like scroll through, and it was just. All right, is everybody ready?
Yep.
All right, let's go ahead and call to order the December 3rd meeting of the Carson City Shade Tree Council. Can we get a roll call, please?
Chairperson Horvath?
Here.
Vice Chairperson Shirk? Member Boers?
Here.
Member Ozawa?
Here.
Member Pierman?
Present.
Member Trenoweth?
Present.
A quorum is present.
All right. And for the record, Gianna Shirk is excused for Navy duty things, so. She'll miss this meeting, but she's pretty much that. She says it's clear for the rest of the year, so. But barring any major incidences, which we don't hope for. All right, is there any public comments before we get onto the agenda? All right.
Please.
All right, so do we have approval of minutes?
I move to approve the minutes of the last meeting of the Shade Tree Council.
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right, perfect. Approved. Is there any modifications to tonight's agenda? All right, cool. Then let's go 3A. We already went ahead and dealt with Member Shirk being excused for Navy duty. So moving on to 3B. This is discussion only regarding the 2014 Fall Tree Care Seminar. So let's talk about what went well, what didn't go well, what we can do better next year, just kind of a general brainstorming session while it's still fresh on our minds.
Well, looking at the numbers here, it looks like we took a hit.
Yes.
If I see that right, we had expenses.
Would you like me to go over that with you?
Pardon me?
Would you like me to go over the budget?
Yeah, it's all part of the report, sure. So let's go ahead and do that one first.
Just since you brought it up, if you look at that sheet that's in front of you, you can see there's the list of the expenses for the seminar, and they totaled $1,388.82. Now, we had a carryover of $5,181.99, so we have a current balance of $3,793.17. Our revenues for the workshop for the seminar were $510. So, I mean, you're correct. We lost about $800. Now, that sounds bad in a way, and we can't continue to lose that kind of money on a seminar. But I think maybe the good news on that is that, and I think it was mainly because of obviously a low turnout. But I think the good news out of the whole thing is I think it was, in my opinion, I think you did a fine job. I think it was a very, very good seminar this year. And I think that hopefully that type of quality of sessions that you guys put on is going to spread by word of mouth. And I think we have some ideas of how we can promote this in the future. I think this is going to help you later on, in the next few years of building that seminar back up again, because I sure heard a lot of positive comments from the people in attendance about the quality of the sessions, and I think that's going to be helpful. So I wouldn't worry too much about losing money this time. You have still a pretty good balance of almost $3,800.
Mm-hmm.
We may be a little bit tight next year in putting the seminar on. We got Arbor Day coming up too, but I think overall, I think in the long run, that seminar is going to prove to be beneficial for your efforts. So.
Does that mean your recommendation would be stay the course with trying to get more of the general audience into the tree care seminar and also continue with a 5K run, which brings the general audience in?
Well, I think we have an item up here discussing the Arbor Day celebration. I think it's a good time to discuss, mm-hmm. the 5K run, if you want to, look at doing that again this year. I think, personally, the key is to really target the people in the tree profession and get them back into the fold. I think last few years, the recession has been tough on the budgets for all these companies and for the for the public sector, park and recreation departments and urban forestry departments. But I think now we're starting to see a turnaround in the economy in the area. Sales tax revenues are starting to rise. I think there's going to become more money available for people to attend training sessions. We just don't want them to forget about us, in the meantime.
But still continuing to target also general audience, general public.
Yeah, I think so.
Because I think that's a very important part of it. So I remember Kyle, a few meetings ago, he told us about a piece he saw on television. This is your waste money or something like this. They showed a clip from Shade Tree Council. Is that correct?
It was one of the watchdogs.
I think we should do something about so the people of Carson City know who we are, what we are doing, and why it's important what we are doing.
I would say that we, if we followed kind of the last 2 years kind of paradigm that we were going with of having really high quality talks that appealed definitely to the professionals, but invited the public and opened it up to the public and wasn't exclusive, and promoted it, it's only going to be positive, the benefits that you get from it. Better to raise the bar and let people get more information than maybe they were expecting than to lower the bar for what you think the public can digest and lose the professionals. I think you're right. The focus of the Fall Tree Care Seminar should be the professionals, but it should not be exclusive to the professionals.
What I have to add to
Carry on, you'll have to excuse me for a second.
Is that it has to be also within line, too, of what they can go out and get as far as that certification. So, I think we knew what the going rate is, going into it, but we have to follow up and make sure that we're in alignment so they can't just say, hey, we really did have topics that were in line with, I thought all the speakers were on point, and that it was a well put on presentation and very valuable to local arborists in the form of certification, where maybe otherwise they might have to go to Reno or maybe Tahoe or something like that. But long term, I think its success is going to be related to what is out there and what they can, what that certification costs.
And I had a very brief discussion with David Howlett, from the Nevada Division of Forestry afterwards, and we didn't have time to get into a lot of detail, but David said that there may be an opportunity to combine with NDF and do a combined seminar with them. That would reduce some of our costs, probably increase our exposure quite a bit statewide even, and it may have some positive benefits. The downside to that is maybe a little bit of loss of identity, but I think it's something that's worth looking at, and at the next meeting we can invite David to the meeting and maybe explore that option a little bit.
I think that's a great idea. Yeah, you can cut your fixed costs right in half.
I was telling the council that I had a very brief discussion and we didn't have time to go into a lot of detail with David Howlett. And he said that there may be an opportunity to partner with NDF and put on a combined workshop. And I was saying that might increase our exposure and exposure for the seminar, statewide. And then at the same time, reduce some of our direct costs, too. Okay. So it might be a good partnership worth considering.
Yeah, absolutely.
We place this on the agenda for the next meeting.
I second that.
Okay. So David Howlett being invited to the next meeting to discuss the partnership more. Okay. Did we get any kind of like reviews from any attendees or any of the speakers? Like the guy from Portland. Did Jeffrey say anything about, or that wasn't Jeffrey, was it?
Jeffrey, yeah.
It was Jeffrey, yeah. So did, I mean, like, what was his thoughts on speaking at it? Did he, was he like, oh, it was well done, or?
Well, Jens gave him a ride back to the airport. Opportunity to discuss
He saw it very positive. Of course, he knew, of what we all know, there weren't very many people. But he thought it was worthwhile, and of course, he appreciated the opportunity to present his work. And I mentioned, I think Roger did that too, that we were thinking about inviting him back as a standalone event. But right now, looking at those numbers, I think we should be a little more cautious about it and wait a few months before we start discussing this. We have a few other priorities right now.
Okay. There was discussion about doing it on a different day. We had to do it on a Friday this time because of the room availability. We had always done it on Thursday before that, and there was talk about doing it on a Saturday. Is there any thoughts on that?
I think Saturday will be better for attendance all around.
Not if we want to get the professionals, because they would see it as an additional day they have to go to work.
If they're at work, though, they can't go to seminar.
No, the company send them here.
They might be at a job site then. If that's falls in, we're saying that it falls on the day that they're working. Yeah. Well, if they're working, they don't want to be at a seminar, or boss might want them at work.
Terry,
I had a comment from one of the professionals that Saturday would not be good for them, because they did have to work on Saturdays.
Okay.
So that's just one input.
And I know there's a city employee issue with Saturdays as well.
Yeah, and I was just going to offer that. Friday really hurt us because we didn't have any public works employees attending, because the public works works a 4-10 schedule Monday through Thursday. And since they weren't working Friday, they didn't want to send them to the seminar. Mm-hmm. And so that would compound even for Parks and Rec on Saturday, because, quite frankly, then we have to pay people overtime. And it'd be a half, you know, it'd be almost a full day overtime.
Right.
It would really cut back the numbers that we could afford to send. So I think Thursday is probably a good day.
You know? And was it, oh, sorry, Terry, you had your hand up first.
So it does make sense that if they have to be at work anyway, this would be a good place for the organizations to have them come for the seminar.
Well, you know, when you do send somebody during a work day, I think maybe what Gary's getting at is you do take them away from the job, their normal activities. But I think most organizations realize that training is important, you know, to employees. It's important for the organization. And particularly public employers are willing to, you know, make that sacrifice to miss, you know, have some employees miss some productive time at work by going through the training, you know.
Yes.
How tied are we to this location here? Is there, do we have an alternative somewhere?
That certainly can be considered. You know, I mean, it doesn't have to be at this location. This is free. You know,
well, I was going to ask, what's kind of the permanence of why we couldn't do it on a Thursday? It was just the day we set, and that was a one-time thing, so we really shouldn't have an issue doing it again on a Thursday?
You know, I think what we could do is we could actually set the date. If we wanted to do it about the same time of the year in November, mm-hmm. you know, we could set that date, and I could actually do that this week. And make sure that we don't miss out on a weekday, particularly on Monday through Thursday, and have to do a Friday again.
Could we vote on this right now? We don't have that on our agenda, right?
This is listed as for possible action.
We could set a date right now.
Then I would like to.
This is great.
I would like to move that we set a date at this meeting for next year's Shade Tree Care Seminar.
And let's leave that open-ended until we find the date that we want, and then we'll add that. Can we do that? Leave that open-ended until we find a date, and then add it at the end?
I was just looking through the motion.
Thank you for your motivating input.
You got one.
And, you know, and what you might want to be, because I don't have the schedule for this building on me.
Gary, a second.
But what you may want to do is you may want to say we want to have it the second, during the second week of November or the first week of November, wherever we had it. And then I can find a work day. If that's what you want to have is on a work day, then I can find a work day that will fit.
I think Thursday is where it's at, because nobody's going to come in on a Monday because you got to catch up from all kinds of stuff. And
shall I amend it?
Well, let's see what Thursdays we have available to us.
In November 2015, the Thursdays are 3rd, 10th, 17th, 24th, and 31st. So I'm sorry, I'm in December. Never mind. Okay, try again. The Thursdays in November are 5th, 12th, 19th, and 26th.
So really,
and 26th would be Thanksgiving.
Yes, so we're really the first
so
two
we
weeks.
So we have 5, 12, and 19.
So, I think the 5th or the 12th is probably the...
Do you want to give me 2 days and I'll...
See which one.
And then, you know, this week, tomorrow, I'll check and see which day works.
Perfect.
Oh, wait a minute. Thursdays is Board of Supervisor meeting.
And that would be... So, the Board of Supervisors meeting would be on the 5th and 19th.
Okay, so that
looks like the 12th it is.
At least the 12th.
So
good catch.
And what makes Thursday a sweeter day than any other of the remaining week?
Well, it's not a Friday, number one.
And it's
not a
Monday.
Monday, which is usually a bad day. So, you know, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And Thursday has been kind of traditional. That's the only thing I would say that makes it a sweet spot. But
okay, in that case, I would move to have the next Shade Tree Care Seminar on November 12th, 2015.
Second that.
All in favor?
Second that.
Aye.
All right.
Good work. I'm so organized.
Yeah, I like this. All right, is there any more discussion about the Fall Tree Care Seminar? I think we are so far ahead of the game having a date. Is there anything else that needs to be dealt with? No.
Not me yet.
I know I really enjoyed the talks, and I'm glad the reviews came back similar. So, all right, so we're going to close out that one. Is there any public comments about the Fall Tree Care Seminar?
Nope.
All right, moving on to 3C, discussion only regarding the status of the Urban and Community Forest Grant application for the Tree Inventory Project. Roger.
Well, as you know, as David Howlett mentioned at the Fall Tree Care Seminar, NDF awarded Carson City a grant in a little over $18,000 for a urban forestry tree inventory. And that application has been given to us. It's been filled out, sent back to NDF, and Nick Morano, our city manager, signed the grant application. So we're good to go. The next step would be to look at acquiring and retaining a consultant to actually do the inventory. And so we'll be looking at, I'll be teaming up with Public Works Department, and we'll probably go through a RFP process, a request for proposals. We have a list of people who have done that type of work for other communities. I'll consult with David to see if there's any other companies out there that he would, you know, recommend that we include in this RFP. We'll go through that process. Hopefully this winter we'll have somebody selected this winter and spring, have somebody selected and have the inventory begin probably in June once the trees are fully leafed out. It's not to say that a good dendrologist couldn't identify these trees in the dormant stage, but it is a little...
Why make them shiver?
Why make them shiver, and why make it more difficult than it needs to be? You know, so you know, I think it'd be advantageous to wait till the trees fully leaf out again.
Okay. When's the RFP going out? Like when, and then how long does it usually take for it to be open before?
Usually what we do with the RFP is we give about 2 or 3 weeks for prospective consultants to fill it out and bring the paperwork back to us. Probably we'd be looking at late winter, early spring.
Okay.
Have that decided.
Cool. So there's no problem just keeping this continuously on the agenda?
No, we'll just keep
it until it's like the book's closed on it.
We'll keep it on there, at least for nothing else, as an update.
Awesome. Thanks, Roger. All right. Is there anybody else that discuss the inventory project? Any public comments? All right, let's move on to item 3D. This is discussion only regarding the planning of the 2015 Arbor Day celebration. And pretty much, again, it's never too early to start setting plans. So 2015, I mean, this thing was the biggest event that we've had since I've been here. I'm apprehensive about recommending to change much up. So I don't know. That's just my opinion. I know Gianna. We talked about this. She said she's willing to head it up again. Amber, I believe her name was, with the fitness place. She's ready to go on the partnership and going out and getting sponsors and everything like that. So, what are your guys' thoughts?
Location. Do we want to do it in the same location again? I kind of like it. The only problem I see, our tradition of planting a tree, if you do it in the same location over and over again, we have a forest there within a couple of years, and the rest of the city is without shade. So, I mean, we can do it again in the same location, but in the long run, we need to find other locations so we can plant trees in other locations.
You don't have to make a decision on location tonight, but that was a nice location because it had the availability of a nice area to have a run as well, 5K run. Now, another location that would be very similar in a way would be going back to Carson River Park or even Silver Saddle Ranch, because we have the opportunity to have a trail run that we could do a 5K run there. In fact, maybe Silver Saddle Ranch, particularly if we have that property deeded to us by BLM, from BLM, by Arbor Day, might make a nice little kickoff celebration.
One location I have in mind, of course, is the west side of town. But I don't know how well trees will grow there. There's very little water. That's why they're naturally very few trees. So how can we find out about how feasible it is?
I think you find, because I was thinking the same thing. You know, you get the west side. Now, granted, the park where we're at was kind of like ideal for doing a 5K.
Yeah.
Mills Park, you could do a 5K in. You could also do, from the Boys and Girls Club, laps around that full stone wetlands in a park, but you've got, you know, places like the Brewery Arts Center where you could plant a tree and run under the canopy, you know, past the governor's mansion and do it along the streets, you know, similar to like, you know, with the turkey trot downtown or something like that. So I think we're thinking the same thing, you know, and I think that'd be really cool also in the springtime to do like a west side run under the trees, but it would be, you know, finding the location or the organization that would take care of that tree.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we have a little park behind the governor's mansion called Sunset Park.
Okay.
It's only, you know, a block from the governor's mansion. That might, in fact, a couple years ago, we had to take down a large cottonwood tree there. So that might be an opportunity, and then you could run through the tree area on the kind of the historic west side of town.
make it a blue line.
But one thing to keep in mind, that a run in town along the street is going to be a little more complicated than a run on a trail, because you're going to have traffic control and, you know, those type of issues too. So I'm not saying that that's the end of the world, but it would be a little more complicated than running on a trail.
I like the idea of running through residential or semi-residential areas a lot, because it will be in line with trying to make public more aware of who we are, what we are doing. And our 5K run last year, it was a great step in that direction, and I think it had a very good response. So having a run starting around or near the Brewery Arts Center, or that little park, which is actually across the street from the old hospital, isn't it?
No, that is, well, that's another
Treadway.
Park. We have another park over there, Treadway Park, and coincidentally, we had to remove a large cottonwood tree there too. So we have, you know, a couple parks, several parks on the west side of town that would work for that. Mm-hmm. The two that are in the most historical part would be Treadway Park and Sunset Park. Sunset Park is the one I was referring to that's by the governor's mansion.
So I'd say let's keep that in mind, that area.
Are there any additional insurance concerns if you're running a 5K in areas where traffic is present?
I don't think there's necessarily any additional insurance concerns. It's just more of a logistics issue, you know, of traffic control.
It's getting the city more involved.
Yeah, getting the city more involved, you know. Again, I don't want to say that's not a deal killer.
Yeah, it's not insurmountable.
It's not insurmountable. Yeah. It's just going to require maybe more volunteers located at intersections, you know, to kind of control traffic and that type of thing. But, it's definitely doable. There are 5K runs held along the streets in town all the time.
And I think if we did it closer to the residential area where the people are living, you might even get more people come out on a Saturday morning because they simply could walk out their front door, you know, and be at the start of the race. So,
and they would be exposed to our activity for future events.
Yep, it would be great exposure.
And, you know, we've had a couple Arbor Day ceremonies where have done it off city site property. And that's always a complication, too, because we know that if the ceremony's in a city park, and then we know we're responsible for the care for it. And I think the survival of the tree is going to increase if it's in a city park or a city facility that we're responsible for.
Definitely.
Another part of the Arbor Day celebration is the Washington Ferris Award. And if I remember correctly, most times or all of the times, I don't know, it was granted to officials, people who work with trees professionally in city or state government, something like this. So I wonder, is that a requirement, or can it be given to a private citizen as well?
Well, you had Mary from Grow.
Yeah, yeah, definitely it can be given
to Grow is an organization.
But it is not limited to a public employee.
Okay.
Yeah, it's open to anybody that has...
Yeah, we did.
...who has been an advocate of trees, urban forest, and a promoter, or has been involved, you know, significantly in the field, you know, of tree care, or firm, or business.
I'm asking because I would like, at least considering, giving the award this year to a private person. I don't know who it is, but I see the property, and it's an outstanding example of how wonderful trees can be on private property. It's a white house on Ormsby House, on Ormsby Boulevard. Has two huge, I think they are cottonwoods. They are larger than the house. They go over the whole house, and it's not a small house. And they have a wonderful tree house for the kids in there.
I know which place you're talking about.
You know,
yeah, totally.
You know the place. We can find out who the owner is. And I would really suggest to at least consider giving the award to the owners of that property. Also, again, with an eye on making us known to the public better in what we're doing. So I think that something we should do.
I think you're onto something with that idea. You know, it might even be cool to bring in some tree care professionals that deal with the trees on that west side, and maybe they could even make suggestions, too, of properties and people that they know that are just, like, fanatical in a positive way, you know, about their trees. But I think, you know, doing something, you know, for a homeowner who takes care of it, yeah, we get a lot of attention. They become advocates, and they get some bragging rights, you know, which is huge.
I think the best way to put it is that by doing that, we want to show appreciation for what they are doing.
Okay, so that is an idea. Do we know any professionals that need to be considered? Because I like the homeowner idea, and I think that's something that, you know, like for the next, you know, couple months, you can drive around and. Maybe not if there's snow on the ground, but you know which properties you like. You know, everybody's kind of.
Well, I just told you which one I like.
Yeah, totally. We know Jens's vote. Terry?
For years, I've been watching the silver oak planting, and I think they're worthy of consideration for a George Washington Ferris Award. They're trees and they're mediums.
Oh, in the neighborhood?
In the neighborhood, mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Silver Oaks neighborhood.
So maybe do they have their own grounds crew that does their stuff in the neighborhood? Or
I don't know if they have their own grounds crew. They do have property as part of their HOA mm-hmm. that they care for. I don't know if they contract that out or not, but you know I can certainly look into that.
Okay.
And without kind of revealing the name, an individual I kind of thought of, and maybe he could go to the company, but is Healthy Trees.
Yes. And I was thinking, going to ask if Tom had been.
Yeah, Tom has really been involved. You know, he has volunteered his time to be a presenter at the Fall Tree Care Workshop. He has given tours of the trees on the Capitol grounds, and he's headed up the Fruit Barrens program. You know, harvesting.
Yep.
Harvesting fruit from residential trees to go to the food bank. I mean, you know, that's a lot of devotion to trees in this community. So I think Tom would be a good candidate.
And as long as I've been here, we haven't recognized him in that manner.
He also did a wonderful tour of trees in the historic part of town.
Yeah.
Okay. So we've got three good areas to explore in your guys' next meeting when there's an opportunity to take action on anything. Is there more discussion? So in future meetings, we've got to figure out the location where Sunset and Treadway has been suggested and explore a little bit further about what it's going to take to move the race into the streets. And then regarding to the Ferris Award, a possible homeowner, possibly Silver Oak Neighborhood, and possibly Tom Henderson of Healthy Trees.
Silver Saddle Ranch was also posited as a possible location for...
Oh, thank you.
Arbor Day.
So what sites do you have as possible sites again?
Sunset Park, Treadway Park, and Silver Saddle Ranch.
Okay.
And then, of course, I mean, I just thrown out that Mills Park was a possibility as well as... Fullstone Wetlands, because you could just pretty much lap that dirt track by the Boys and Girls Club, and there's the Fullstone Park, but we had already done an Arbor Day celebration mm-hmm. the year before at Fullstone Park, so that would be going back like pretty quick after,
yeah.
So. All right. Anything else? Any public comments? All right. Moving on to 3E, discussion only regarding the impending removal of two large cottonwood trees at Fuji Park.
All right. As you know, we have some very mature, I think you call them over mature, cottonwood trees at Fuji Park. And one of them is, you know, maybe one of the most magnificent trees in town. spreading cottonwood tree that is near the center of the pool.
Near the center of the park. Unfortunately, we've had problems with that tree, branches breaking off, falling out of it. During the NV 150 fair, we had a large limb fall out of that tree about 3 o'clock in the morning. During, you know, luckily, it was 3 o'clock in the morning. There was nobody there, but that tree, that limb was probably that big around, you know, size of a tree itself, and it fell out of there, landed on one of the vendors' units, and caused some damage. Smashed it up pretty good. We have had Molly Sinnott, who's a consulting arborist, come out and did an inspection of the tree, and her recommendation is that that tree should be removed, along with another large cottonwood tree that have just east of the dog park. It's a big cottonwood tree that has some significant amount of deadwood in the top of the tree. It also contains an owl's nest, so that's kind of a, you know, sensitive situation for us too. But regrettably, probably both those trees need to be removed. And there's a smaller cottonwood tree that's kind of along the pathway over by the Clear Creek itself. The problem with these cottonwood trees are, once they start getting heart rot in them and you know, get a lot of decay in the trees, it's not really visible so much from the outside. But when you, if you get up there and really inspect them, you can find that if branches, limbs the size of one that broke out of the big tree in Fuji Park are falling out, that pretty much a lot of the limbs are in the same situation, and there may be decay all the way through the trunk of the tree. You never really know that for sure unless you really probe it or you once you take the tree down. But they represent significant liability issues. The last thing we want is anybody get injured or killed, you know, by having a branch like that taken down. So we're going to have to take those two trees down. We have solicited proposals, and we're also looking at the possibility of taking them down with public crews. We're going to take a look at that, but we could be spending in the neighborhood of $9,500 to take down those two large trees, the one by the dog park and the one kind of in the center of the park. But trees are just like human beings. They have a usable lifespan. Well, maybe that's a little harsh so on the human side. They have lifespans. and unfortunately with a tree, when it's time to go, it's time to go, you know, so they don't unfortunately snuff out a human life.
Is the timeline for that this winter?
Yeah, we're going to be taking it down as soon as possible, probably here in the next couple weeks. If you go over to Fuji Park, you'll see the one that's in the lawn area. We have a fence around the perimeter under the drip line of the tree just to prevent people from getting in close to the tree until such time we can take it down. But that'll probably happen in the next couple weeks. We will be informing the public that we're doing this because we know that there's probably a great deal of concern, maybe some even emotional value towards that one large tree. So we're going to let the public know. We're going to send out press releases, talk about why we're taking it down and when we'll take it down as well.
I would suggest that we support taking down those trees for a very simple reason. If these trees cause more damage than they already have, that will make our job harder to convince the public of the usefulness of trees. It's a very simple thing. So.
It's an idea.
Yeah, no motion. And I know I can't go back to the one before, but maybe Fuji Park should be considered for the Arbor Day celebration.
We can put it on the list.
And with that said, I mean, when you're removing a tree that has that much wood and timber and canopy cover, you know, maybe you guys consider planting multiple trees at Fuji Park to make up for the loss that's about to happen there. So,
the cost?
The
cost of multiple trees?
Oh, yeah, I know. I'm just saying, hey, we got months to discuss this. We can always find sponsors for it. We're getting much better at that. But no, I mean, you can't replace a giant tree like that, and then, you know, and I'm curious to see how much heart rot's gotten in, you know, because then you get the trunk, and, you know, I mean, that's just going to be like a sizable mass sitting there for a while.
It's a common problem with cottonwoods.
Is there any way, that we could get informed on when the press releases are coming out?
We will send a copy of the press release to you.
Okay, cool. All right. Well, is there any more discussion on that? Public comments? Okay. Okay, moving on to item four, non-action items, report only. And so we'll start. Gary, do you have anything to report?
I do not have anything to report.
All right. Roy?
Same with me.
All right. Terry?
A couple of things. I went to the Super Burrito that David mentioned during the seminar. I'd never gone to the drive-thru before, but they have this narrow little channel, little parcel that they've planted bushes and this one maple tree in. And it's a very narrow space, and it's under an overhang at Super Burrito. This is a maple tree. And I went to the people, service people, and told them what the problem was going to be with this tree. It's going to, A, get too tall and cause problems there, and B, the roots are going to undermine things. And it's just too big for that narrow space. I went back today and asked if anything had been done about that tree. I noticed it was still there. And the service lady said, well, we told the owner, but I don't know if my input or the service person's input would be sufficient to get action. They said the owner, you have to contact the owner. The only other thing was the two dead conifers on Baker that I keep seeing. They're totally dead, and I'm concerned that they would be a vector for beetles and infections. One is 2716, and one is 2816, Baker.
2716 and 2718?
2816 and 2716.
Okay.
And you'll see them. They're dead conifers.
Baker Street?
Uh-huh.
Okay. We'll check it out.
Thank you. There's also a terribly topped cottonwood in the neighborhood there. You'll see that, too, from the drive-up Baker. It looks like it probably won't make it. It only has a few little green branches that emerged this spring. The rest of the tree appears to be dead. It's very large.
No reports.
All right. My report is I sent out an email to all of you about resigning as the chairman effective after this meeting. So pretty much, you know, thank you guys for the opportunity. It's been many, many years as a Shade Tree member and chairman, and it was the first board that I joined, so there's definitely an emotional value and commitment to want to see this board continue to thrive and grow. So I'm going to take this opportunity to kind of mention a few things that just kind of advice, you know, for the board to come. Before I say that, as vice chair, Gianna's going to take over the acting chairperson position. You guys are going to need to vote on a new vice chair. I recommend Jens. We had talked about that, but that's for you guys to discuss and vote on, but he would be my recommendation. And you have two seats open that you really need to hustle and fill. So with that said, this is just my advice. Stay focused and goal-oriented, and never accept no for an answer. All right? No is not an answer. Find solutions to make things work and not excuses for why they can't. Be responsible with the money and keep a close eye on it, because if you're not paying attention to it, it seems to up and disappear right before your eyes. So, you know, make sure this budget stays in the black. Be creative. be open to collaboration with organizations throughout the city. So anybody that would be a good partner, including NDF or whatever, extend that olive branch, build those relationships. That's only going to help with our exposure and having our mission. And then finally, when I came on, we were a very advisory-oriented board, and we are an advisory board. But don't be afraid to roll up your sleeves and do work. Be as much action as you are advisory. One suggestion that I do have for the board that will help with the communication is we had some circumnavigation of me with communication. It was because of the Gmail and privacy issues and stuff like that, and emails not getting to each other. I suggest that we have a chairman of the Shade Tree Council or shadetreecouncil@carson.org email address, because I don't know any team that's been successful circumnavigating their chairperson. No wide receiver and coach without the quarterback. It just doesn't work. And when we were doing it, and there were some mistakes that happened, and they were minor, but for any organization to run as smoothly and as efficiently as possible, they need to be able to communicate with each other. So my suggestion would just be having a chairperson's email address that would be under the city that would be the line of communication for the board. So with that said, I'm going to act as the new president of the board of the Brewery Arts Center, and I'm looking forward to that challenge. So you will not, this isn't the last time you guys will see me. I'll be on that side of the podium from here on out. So thanks, everybody.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
Congrats, and thank you very much.
And I guess I'd like to add a comment to that. I want to thank Kyle for his years of service on the Shade Tree Council, and I think really for his outstanding leadership and his devotion to trees and being a friend of urban forest in Carson City. He's done a good job, and I appreciate it, and I think everybody in this community has benefited in some way with your tenure on the council.
Cool. Thank you.
Here.
All right. Okay. Is there any more public comments that need to be addressed? No? Then let's go ahead and make action for adjournment.
Oh, wait a minute. Future agenda items.
Oh, did we miss that? Okay. Sorry. Item 5. We're not there yet, guys. I may have been here for a while, but I'm still making rookie mistakes. Future agenda items. Does anybody have anything they would like to add?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
The tree care assist program, we actually discussed at the last meeting that we are going to have it on the agenda for this meeting. Didn't make it. So I definitely would like to have it on the agenda. I don't know if you noticed the Nevada Appeal was running a poll for the last 2 or 3 weeks. The question was, how do you value Carson City's current arrangements for collecting green waste, leaves, limbs, garden waste, etc.? There were 3 possible answers that were adequate, too much, or lacking. And adequate, as of this afternoon, had 14% of the votes. Too much had 14, almost 15% of the votes, but 71% of the votes were for lacking. So I think this indicates, I mean, this is not a scientific poll. As a matter of fact, the newspaper says it's for entertainment purposes only, but that difference this is more than twice voted lacking than too much and adequate combined. So this indicates that there's something lacking.
There's a need.
We should put it on the agenda.
Did it say how many people voted?
The total vote by numbers, 55 people. So the 393, 55 votes were for adequate, 58 for too much, and 280 for lacking.
Thank you.
So that's quite a gap.
Okay, so Tree Care Assist Program. Terry, did you have something you wanted to put on the agenda?
No, it was just that we hadn't done the future agenda.
Oh, okay. All right, any other agenda items? All right. Then public comments to keep. Oh, Jens. did you have one more thing to add?
No, no, not, okay. Not really an agenda item, but curiosity, isn't it? The first meeting in the year when we vote on chair and vice chair? Okay.
Okay. Well, you guys got a big first meeting coming up. All right, so there's no public comments. Can we get an action for adjournment?
I would like to move that the meeting of the Shade Tree Council for December 3rd, 2014, adjourned.
You have a second?
I second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
And we are adjourned.